Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving, truly moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has great and wonderful things to say to His people. He loves us all, each one. He's always ready to help you do what's right. He loves you. Remember, doing what's right is life. Doing the Word of God is life. When we receive the life of God in our heart, we operate like God. Now, I want people to understand something about the Lord. The Lord doesn't want you to just act right. He wants you to embrace life and live from the standpoint of love itself. The theme of what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount and then the address to the seven churches after He had died for us, He appeared to John and He gave John a message to give the seven churches. Now, the theme is love. Love God, love man. If I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to try to swindle you or deceive you or coerce you into something that I want you to do. If I love you, I'm going to consider you. I'm going to treat you like a person. I'm going to help you if I can. Now, we all share the responsibility of working and taking care of our families and doing things that we have to do. We have family responsibilities. And the Lord designed us to take care of ourselves. When people try to take care of people that can take care of themselves, they're not helping. But when, you know, like the old African proverb used to say, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish, you feed him for life. The Lord gave us all the equipment, all the abilities, all the faculty in our mind to go forward. Now, there are people who have been in accidents or have been born with mental problems, and somebody's going to have to watch over them for the rest of their life. But all things being equal, everyone can take care of themselves. And the Lord loves us. He's for you. If your life was in an arena, God is cheering you on. He wants you to live. So He gave us Christ. He gave us Jesus. And Jesus willingly came. It was the Father's perfect will for His only begotten Son to die in our place. And it was the only begotten Son, who is Jesus, to receive His Father's will and do it because He loved us. Now, if we embrace the love of God and we embrace the love of Jesus, then we're alive. I'm going to show you how easy it is to get saved. A man named Saul, not King Saul, but Pharisee Saul, was on his way to put Christians in jail. But he had heard the word that Stephen preached in chapter 7 of Acts. He was holding the coat for the men while they were stoning Stephen. He had enough brace not to stone Stephen, but he was frustrated. At this point, he was not a murderer. But he was holding the jackets for the people who were stoning Stephen. He was assisting, but he didn't throw the stones himself. He had just enough brace not to pick up stones against Stephen. And he heard what Stephen said. So Jesus knocked him down on the road to Damascus. And when he got up, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." Now, when people talk about Jesus and explain what He has done for us, many people have heard about Jesus, celebrated Christmas, and still don't know what Jesus did for us and the depths of what He has done for us. He died in your place. We were born in the likeness of Adam after Adam sinned. Now, if Adam didn't sin, and he had children before he sinned, those children would still be alive. because they would have been born after, before Adam sinned. But Adam sinned, so all of his children are doomed. That's why Christ had to come. He had to be born of a woman. He was born of a virgin that never knew a man, never slept with a man before. This is the Christmas story, and it's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a, people tried to put it on the Easter Bunny level, but it's not. This is real. The Holy Spirit enabled Mary to carry Jesus, and he was born of a virgin, so that he could train us right and die in our place. And we have the authority that he gave us. That's why we say, Satan, stop it in the name of Jesus. I have seen gunfights when I lived in the Kingston Woodlawn area in the 80s and 90s. The late 80s and throughout the 90s. Here I was. They were having gunfights. I would say, Satan, you can't kill anybody and you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And on my street and in the area I lived, nobody ever got killed because the name of Jesus is real, my friend. You can stop problems in the name of Jesus, but you got to believe in the authority that he gave you. And too many times pastors and preachers don't preach on authority correct, and I'm sorry that they don't. But authority is real because the name of Jesus is real because Jesus is real. Jesus, the name of Jesus is real because Jesus put something in motion that Satan cannot ever reverse. If you believe on him, you live forever. And you can share in the life that God has provided through Christ. Don't go back to the world. Don't live out of bounds. In you know, in most sports, if you go out of bounds, the ball goes to the other team. In basketball, if you wherever you go out of bounds, then the ball goes to the other team. In football, if you go out of bounds, if a man runs the football out of bounds, that's where they start the line of scrimmage at. And the ball goes to the other team. Well, no, it don't go to the other team. You have to start the play over. In basketball, it goes to the other team. But if you run out of bounds and then come back in bounds and run a touchdown, it don't count. So in Christ, if we're in him, if we are in the kingdom of God, and we don't start a life process of sin, we're still in bounds. But if we start deliberately sinning, we're out of bounds again. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we're out of bounds. If we begin to do the sexual sins, stealing, lying, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, witchcraft, those things cause you to be out of bounds. But when you have the love of God in you, you don't want to do those things. And Satan tries to tempt Christians back into those things. But when you love God, you have strength. When you receive the word of God in your heart, you have strength to live and overcome all the wiles of the enemy, of the devil, and of the world, and of people that are not like God. And people's voices are so loud, they talk. Whatever they're persuaded with, that's what they broadcast. And they try to persuade you into what they're doing. But when you live the light and the love of God, it exposes all darkness for what it is. You don't even have to say anything. When you live the life of God and you walk in the room, people can feel the conviction. Because the fear of the Lord is on you. The Lord is with you. They have a reference for the light. And either they're going to embrace the light or they're going to try to run away from it. They can make whatever they want to legal. Any sin they want to, they can make it legal. And they won't put you in jail for it. But you're still not right with God. When two men get married, their marriage is not recognized by God. When two women get married, their marriage is not recognized by the Holy Ghost. It's not sanctioned. It's sin. But it's legal. And God loves us. He loves people that do him wrong. People will say, well, you just hate them. I don't hate them. If I hated them, I wouldn't say anything. I just let them fall off the earth. I'm letting you know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That sounds like an old cliche. Let me put it another way then. God loves you for real and Satan hates you for real. Sin will do damage to your life. Sin will cause you to hate God. It will harden your heart against not only God, but the things of God, the people of God, and everything associated with the Lord. And you won't even have a desire to read the word. You won't have a desire to pray. You won't have a desire to know God. But the world will also weary you and make you tired and frustrated and bogged down with all forms of trouble. And you'll either get tired of it, but if you love it, your heart will get hard against God. And you're going to want relief. But if you ever seek the Lord, he will receive and embrace you and include you in the kingdom. I love to see people come to the Lord because I know what God is going to do for them. I know how God is going to bless them. You know, the Lord rejoices when the prodigal son comes home, when people are corrected. You just judging me. You're already judged. Everybody's already judged. Everybody. If they're doing what's wrong, they are judged. That's not what you want. You want grace. I want grace for you. If a person's my enemy and shot at me, I would still be praying for their salvation. I would still desire. When I see people in sin, I desire that they come out of the sin. Sin is going to weary their lives and cause them to wish they were dead eventually, over time. Even millionaires commit suicide. Sin will not work for you. If I ignored sin and didn't warn people about it, and I'm over here, I got the joy of the Lord. The Lord's blessing me, teaching me things, helping me understand things, blessing my life, teaching me how life works. I have the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the peace of the Lord. I have his word. And then I won't share it with you. That's not good. God loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants your life to be full of joy and all forms of blessings. But sin won't give you that. You're missing out if you're in sin, any kind of sin. So there's no hatred here. Not from God, not from me. But when you embrace what's right, you will live forever. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. 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 This year's radio broadcast is on the Audio 5 page. Roman numeral 5. Audio 5. Now, God loves you. And if you receive his love, he can strengthen you. And you will hate the things that's holding you back. Loving the world will cause you to be an enemy against God. And I wish more preachers would teach that. They don't. They want all the money they can get. And they want all the people they can get. Hopefully, in the back of their mind, they'll get saved. But when you preach compromise, hear me good, because I love you. When you preach a compromise doctrine, Satan always wins the compromise. So Jesus didn't compromise with him, so I'm not going to compromise with him, even if you don't like me. A lot of preachers preach once saved, always saved. That sounds good on paper. It's real for those who stay in Christ and don't go out of bounds. But when you decide to go and do something wrong anyway, consequences follow. And God can't receive you in the kingdom of God because you decided to live outside the kingdom of God. And he won't make you do what you're supposed to. He wants you to be included. He wants everybody to be included. He didn't want Lucifer to leave in the first place, and he's the devil. But Lucifer decided of his own free choice and will to get in pride and act on it and go against the things of God and start usurping authority over others. And for the record, he's not the next thing to Jesus. He had to usurp himself above echelons of angels. But cold religion teach that he was right there. He's up there next to Jesus, but he's not. There are many types of angels ahead of him. Now, that's a topic for another day. The enemy exalts himself above what God created him to be, above others. But he was designed to grow and be a blessing to all. So in the kingdom of God, God is for you. He's not against you. He's not trying to judge you on performance, how much you read your Bible, how much you go to church. Those are things that men love. The Lord really loves his people, all of us. The good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. Those who are depressed and those who are not. God loves you. But unless you follow him, he can't get you out of all your trouble. But if you trust him, if you trust him enough to follow him and obey him, learn his word, receive his word, a lot of demonic problems will fall off your life. Now, you got to make Satan leave. He don't just hang around. But let me say this. When you fill your heart with the word of God, a lot of things you're being tempted with, you're not going to want it. And you can always say, Satan, you can't tempt me anymore, and mean it. And you'll watch him stop. He'll stop his activity. The Lord loves us. This is about life. Satan don't want you to represent God at all. And if you know, he will bait you and leverage you into sin. If you're in sin, you get trapped. A lot of people are in these relationships. They want to do right and get married, but they love this person that don't want to get married, and they're afraid to let them go, and so they attach themselves to the person. Hear me good. I know you love the person, but people don't always want to do what God is doing. You have every right to do what God said do. Sometimes you're just going to have to lose some things. And sometimes people will, you may have to leave now and do it God's way. And maybe in the future they'll fall in love with God, because it's a relationship that's unequally yoked is aggravating for both people. You love God, they love the world. God the one that put enmity between the two. So if you go ahead and get married and you really love the Lord and they really love the world, eventually it's gonna be a heartache to both people. If you really love the Lord and you're doing God's things and you're going to aggravate them because they love the world system, and it's going to aggravate you. I don't tell people what to do, but the word said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. But people do it anyway. I've heard of so many women, they come crying to the pastor wanting to get the man saved. The man don't want to be saved. And the pastor say, marry somebody that want to be saved. I can change them. You can't change nobody that don't want to be changed. You can't even change your family. You can't even change your children. How are you going to change another grown person? Now, we can live the life of God and we can offer them inspiration. We can live the life of God and they're going to either love it or hate it. Eventually, over time, they're going to love it or hate it. If you love people, they will respect you, even if they don't come in the kingdom of God themselves. The Lord told me that. When you love people, they will respect you. When you're wise, you will hold their attention. When you do what's right, they'll trust you. But when there's enmity, If they have any enmity against God, they have enmity against you too. And if you love the Lord, then you're going to have a problem with the ways of the world, not the people. I have a lot of people I love. They do what they want to do. I don't do what they do, but I don't hate them, because I don't hate anybody. I forgave the people that did me wrong before, and I pray for them now. Because Jesus said, if you only love those who do you right, what thanks do you have? I am thankful to God for saving me, and I wasn't right with him. He saved me, and I appreciate it, and I'm thankful. So it's an automatic thing for me to love you. No matter how you are, I love you. No matter what you kind of relationship you're in, I love you. Now, I really get mad at friends when they cheat on their wives, and I know it. I don't like that, but I love them. And who knows, maybe God can touch their heart. Maybe they'll wake up. I have had people to wake up and snap out of that debauchery. God is love. He loves us all. We are in trouble on this earth. If you're in the world, if you're living by the world system, you're in a heap of trouble. You're just half dead. You don't know it. But the moment you die, hear me good, folks, because I love you. The moment you die, that's it. The demons are going to show you what they really are. The ones that's been tempting you to do wrong. They're going to manifest and drag you down to hell. And they don't like you. And they're going to call you a fool. See, I've been to hell before. I've been literally to hell before. The Lord took me there in 1986. I can't forget it. I remember the details now. Now, how many dreams have you had and you barely wake up and can't remember the details? Well, I remember all the details of what I saw. I know what I'm talking about. Demons are, their activity is against you. They're the ones people feel so tempted. You can be tempted to the point that you have no relief. And then you give in to sin. And guess what? You still don't have relief. It pressures your life. You're being leveraged. And the Lord can break every curse. He can break every persuasion and curse and fetish of fornication, adultery, even drugs, homosexuality. A girl got married. She married her best friend, which was a boy. But she told the Lord, she said, I was more attracted to his mother than him. But she grew up in a Christian home. And she got so low that she said, Lord, take this homosexuality from me or take me home. She didn't want to live anymore. And the Lord did a miracle for her and broke it. And then she had desires for her husband. Now she's on YouTube and she gave her testimony. That demonic persuasion was on her life. And she took it to the Lord, and he broke it for her. Now, Jesus gave us authority over Satan. And because people didn't preach it right, she didn't know she had authority to break it herself. The Lord broke it for her. The Lord can do that for us. But we can break demonic strongholds by saying, Satan, I rebuke that foolishness in Jesus' name. I rebuke fornication. I rebuke adultery. I rebuke the desires of adultery, the desires of homosexuality, the desires of stealing. You have to break that curse. I've known people who stole because they were addicted to it. They didn't steal because they needed it. It was a rush and they couldn't break it. They needed deliverance from that demon. People say, well, you can't see demons. I know you can't see angels either unless they manifest. You can see them if they manifest. And see, when I preach, I have to do warfare just to preach. because the demons that's on people's lives don't want them to know who Jesus is. Satan don't want you to know who Jesus is. And even though the Lord's trying to reveal himself, Satan's trying to blockade you from knowing God. He tried to steal your attention, change your, if you were looking at towards God, he want to change your focus. He does all kind of activity to get you back into the, and to be interested in the world. And if he can't get you interested in the world, he'll try to leverage and trap you in the world. Be willing to let go everything that's not like Christ. Be willing to do everything he said. Jesus, the one who said, count up the cost. Now, pastors don't always preach this way because they're afraid of losing members. I'm going to tell you something about fear. Fear puts you back in the grip of Satan. Whatever you fear, you will cause it to happen. Because he will leverage you through fear. Fear is a leverage that Satan can use against you to change your will and destiny. Because they fear to teach the truth, they teach something else. And remember, if there's compromise, Satan is the winner of all compromise. That's why God, you don't ever see God compromising with Satan on anything. You never saw Jesus compromise with Satan somewhere. He never did. Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, Jesus didn't compromise with Satan. When Satan brought his temptation, Jesus spoke the word. He stood with God on everything. And those three temptations represent extremes. If you be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that slammed Satan to the ground. So Satan got up, dusted himself off, so to speak. Well, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself off this mountain. Then he quoted a scripture. He quoted Psalm 91. The angels won't even let you bump your foot against a stone. Then Jesus said, man, don't tempt the Lord your God and King. Then he tried to get him into with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. If you bow down and worship me, I give you all these kingdoms. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth at once. And Jesus said, you worship the Lord your God only. And that slammed him to the ground a third time. And Satan got up and ran away. And he couldn't handle it. Not only that, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day. And remember, religious wickedness is worse than worldly wickedness. It's cold-hearted. They're the ones who wanted him killed. The prostitutes, the publicans, which were tax collectors, the drunkards, they didn't want him dead. The religious people wanted him dead. Remember that. You know, the Lord taught me about the other side of the world. The hot part of the world, the equator and the places close to it, that's where your vegetation grows the most. But the North Pole is too cold to grow much. And the South Pole is colder. Well, the equator is like the people who are on fire for God. They have the love of God within. And they want to do God's ways only. And then you got the world. They just want to play and have fun. And never mind God, but just play and have fun. Do it my way. They're not thinking about God. But then you have the religious, religious pride. That's the deadliest of them all. They will kill you because they hate God. So you can't compromise with folks. If they don't want it, they just don't want it. But if they want it, God loves them anyway. If they don't want to know God, God loves them. But he gave them a right to choose not to want him. And it will only last in this life. After this life, it's game over and they'll go to hell. Now God don't send people to hell. They send themselves. He invited them to heaven and they're not supposed to go to hell. But they chose not to follow God, so they can't go to heaven. So guess where they got to go? They aligned themselves with Satan, so they got to go where Satan's going. And people say, well, God didn't make hell for mankind. He made it for fallen angels. Yeah, that's true. But also for mankind that won't repent. He didn't make a separate place for mankind that won't repent. It's obvious that we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And if we don't have enough sense to take the way out, that the only way out that God provided us, then we got to go to hell. I'm sorry. If I change and start going after the world, all of my righteous deeds or good deeds that God has helped me to do, even though people live by my ministry, it'll be forgotten, and I'll go on to hell just like anybody else. Because Ezekiel, the Lord pointed that out. People that did wrong all their life, if they get saved, then their unrighteousness will be forgotten and they'll go to heaven. And God will be glad to get them. They still have to have the sowing and reaping problems, because the longer you're in sin, you're doing something. You're doing good and bad, and you got to pay for it. It's going to cost your life somewhere. But the faster you start doing God's word, your life will become better and stronger. And when you love God, you'll be able to do what He does.